Hey, it's Bob Stauffer. I just wanted to let you know that you can listen to Oilers Now ad-free on Amazon Music, included with Prime.
CBA mandated off day for the Oilers today after playing a back-to-back. Winnipeg also mandated off day after they had back-to-backs. So the Jets, by the way, they've been outscored 13-4 over their last three games. They've dropped three straight. We're just trying to connect with Craig McTavish. I will tell you at this time at 5:34 in Edmonton. Some guests and Oilers Now receive guest certificates to Roost Chris Steakhouse. Whether you're celebrating a special moment or simply savoring a night in the town, every meal is an occasion at Roost Chris Steakhouse. You can tell Chris, Brennan, and Chef Eltaf that Oilers Now sent you. Roost Chris is open Tuesday through Sunday from 5 p.m. until close 4 p.m. on Oilers game days. And we will remind you that MACT on Mondays with Craig McTavish is brought to you by Contract Equipment Limited, Canada's premium heavy equipment dealer with rental and sales. Kellen Kennedy is just working on negotiating contact with Craig McTavish. We have lots of texts that have come in, so I'll keep down that path. This text says, Bob, Bouchard is a lazy skater, soft defensively. His passes and shots are predictable and always get blocked, and he skates like he's on Disney on Ice. I've never seen him get into a scrum or start one. Ekholm is always covering up for his mistakes. It's funny, I had a conversation yesterday with a longtime NHLer, and we talked about the mouth breather element that exists in various markets. And one of the types of players that is consistently the most misunderstood is the skilled puck moving defenseman. And I will concede that Matthias Ekholm has really helped Evan Bouchard's game out. That's a given. But I think when Evan Bouchard's sitting where he's sitting right now amongst the top five in the league in defense scoring, and he has the puck a lot. He plays the most minutes on the entire Edmonton Oilers team. It's funny how people react, right? Like I saw John Buchegross from ESPN, you know, take Bouchard to task, which shall make for a very engaging conversation down the road. Maybe if Evan was an NCAA player, Mr. College Hockey wouldn't have been as tough on him. I don't know. But in back-to-back Saturday nights, I will concede against two of the world's best players, Nathan MacKinnon and Austin Matthews. Yes, Evan Bouchard at the end of shifts lost puck battles in the corner against two of the best players in the world. When Connor McDavid does it to an opposition player who's really good, and he has over the years, it's because it's Connor McDavid. So understand, Bouchard plays the most, is relatively quite productive, but at times I sense in this market, and I have a pretty good idea where it comes from, I just sense that there's not an appreciation for his game. Okay? I just get that sense. And the Oilers have missed on a lot of picks. Okay? They missed on the pick for Jesse Puljujärvi. They missed on Puljujärvi. They certainly missed on Yakupov, even though 90% of you listening to the show right now, if we went back into your text history, 90% of you wanted the Oilers to draft Yakupov in 2012. Evan Bouchard is a home run pick at 10th overall. He's been good, and he's going to continuously get better. I remember the most knowledgeable fan base in the league. You know where that exists? They'll tell you. It's not in Edmonton. It's in Toronto. They booed Larry Murphy off the ice. Skilled, puck-moving defenseman. They booed him off the ice in Toronto because they know a lot about winning in Toronto. Because we all know they haven't won a Stanley Cup since I was one in Toronto. But they booed Larry Murphy off the ice. Oh, he's soft. He's indifferent. He can't make a play. The guy played 1,600 games in the NHL, had 1,200 points, and won two Stanley Cups for the Red Wings after, thankfully, being let go in Toronto. Because the know-it-alls in Toronto didn't like the way, I don't like the way he plays. Everybody's got, it is interesting with Bouchard. Did he get beaten back-to-back Saturday nights on national TV by Austin Matthews and Nathan MacKinnon at the end of shifts? Yes, he did. Does he need to continue to work on increasing his competitiveness defensively? Yes, he's 24. He also has 72 points this season at under $4 million. Let's bring aboard Craig McTavish. MACT on Mondays. for contract equipment. Contract equipment is Canada's premium heavy equipment dealer with rental and sales. Hello, Mac T. How you doing?
You're on a roll, Stuff. I'm just marveling at your passion there for Bush. Good for you.
Well, look, I was as upset as anybody with how the team played Saturday. But I think you, if anybody, can help explain what happens in that situation. You got 11 kids from Southern Ontario that go back to Lamarcket. The team's had the best record in the National Hockey League since November 13th. Everybody's up to play Edmonton. And Mac, you know what? Toronto has changed their dynamic under Brad Treliving. They brought, what bothered me the most wasn't that they lost, it was the lack of physicality and response and making life difficult against the Leafs top players as guys like Edmondson and McKay pounded away at Oilers players. That's what frustrated me in that hockey game. But first, maybe you can speak as both a coach and a manager or even as a player, what it's like to go into Toronto when you're with the Edmonton Oilers.
Well, I mean, It's a different animal there, and especially this game. I mean, it was so hyped for good reasons. I mean, I was glued to the TV to start that game. I thought it was going to be epic. And I mean, there's all kinds of kids, obviously, from players on the Oilers from Ontario that want to do well. I mean, the Oilers were setting out trying to get Zach a couple goals to get him 50 in Toronto was an objective off the start, it looked like. And you know, to your point, but you have to play, you know, like that should that motivate you emotionally to play the game. And emotion, as we both know, is a critical component to playing really good hockey, especially playoff hockey. And to your point, the Oilers were really slow to recognize what was happening in that hockey game. I mean, they were coming out and taking liberties with Connor, Edmondson, McCabe, as you mentioned. And, you know, you have to do your job. And as you know, the physicality and the emotion is only going to get amped up as the games get more and more critical. And it scared the hell out of me just watching and it wasn't necessarily Morgan Riley or Austin Matthews that was doing all the damage. It was the foot soldiers that Toronto has with that Bobby McCann, a Wainwright kid. I mean, that guy played unbelievable. I loved his interview after the game. I mean, that guy looks like a winner to me. Noah Gregor, Jason's nephew. I mean, they were turning the corner and taking the pucks to our net from our defensemen. And, you know, Holmberg, David Camp, Edmondson, as you mentioned, McCabe. And there's a responsibility when you play lower in your lineup, as I did throughout my career, that you have to answer the bell physically. I mean, let's face it, we're all on the coattails of Connor and Leon, but they're not. I mean, if they're getting abused and physically punished to an extent that they were the other night, you have a job in the bottom six, and you have to recognize that. And that's your job, and you have to do your job. And I mean, sometimes it's not pleasant, but you have to get in there. Darnell got in there at the end of the second period and covered a good distance to get to Joel Edmondson. But, I mean, that needed to be done a whole lot earlier in that hockey game than it was done. And, you know, Evander, too. That's his job. And he has to be in there and provide a physical presence. And even guys that don't do it naturally have to step up. I mean, the McLeods of the world and the Fogles, and you gotta man up if you're serious about winning. And otherwise, I mean, you're gonna get run over.
Well, and there were a couple guys in that game, and I'm thinking to myself, you know what? It might be best if we move along this summer, if they can't engage physically in that type of game when you're playing further down the lineup. And here's the thing, Craig. Some people say I'm a Neanderthal for saying this, too bad. Okay? If they're going to put one of yours in the hospital.
You saw how it works. Prime example on Saturday night.
So Trey Living goes in. He goes in. He knows the Leafs are soft. He makes five or six moves. The analytics-driven younger writers all rip him for who he's brought in. And then Joel Edmondson is put up on a pedestal after that game. I mean, he got three shots. He got a hook, a slash, and then the hit from behind on McDavid on one zone entry alone. He was playing with purpose. I wished the Oilers had a defenseman that would have played against Austin Matthews like that. They didn't.
Yeah,
and that's where I'm going to...
Yeah. Yeah.
So here's where I'm going to go with this. It was generally understood, right? If they didn't honor a guy, because the Oilers had a couple guys cruise by Edmondson. I'm pretty sure I saw Carrick once cruise by and say, hey, let's do this. And he kind of waved him off. And then Nurse came in at the end of the second. But when you, it's kind of implicitly understood, right? Like, if you're going to do that, either you're going to have to step up and drop them, which, by the way, Edmondson's completely capable of doing, even with the back injuries he's had. And if he doesn't do it, then you're opening yourself up. You're opening your team up, if you don't answer the bell, to the opposition team targeting your best players, are you not?
It's as old as time and as effective as it's always been. And, I mean, Vinny, to his credit, he's a guy that answers the bell a lot. But, you know, Edmondson was more effective that night. I mean, when the Leafs picked up Edmondson, I was like, I guess he's only 30 years old, but I was questioning the foot speed. But it looked, I mean, you see on full display the effectiveness that he had in that game. So kudos to the Leafs for picking him up. But you have a job to do when you're in the, I mean, we're on the coattails of Connor, but he's not going to be able to drag everybody to the Stanley Cup. You're going to have to get your hands dirty and get in there and compete. Not every night. I mean, nobody expects players to do it every night, but when you're physically challenged, and it was super clear early what the game plan was, because we don't see that often. I mean, Connor, rightfully so, he has a lot of respect and players don't want to take runs at him, but somebody had the Leafs charged up and had a game plan on how they were going to win, and I'm sure they were seeing that they were the underdog in the game coming into their own building and heard all about the Leafs, and they'd had enough. And somebody laid that out for the team, whether it was internal leadership or I suspect coaching, set the table. And they executed to a level. And, I mean, the game was – we started off well. I mean, obviously, Connor was ready to go and started off. And the officiating, I mean, how do you not call that trip on Kane early in the after the first power play? I mean, it's as flagrant a trip as you can get, and they don't call it. I mean, that was frustrating for me.
By Edmondson on McDavid. So McDavid's on the power play, tries to get the zone entry. He gets the hook in on his hands, all right? 5-on-5, that's a penalty. He slashes McDavid as he goes by him. Today, that's a penalty. It wasn't a penalty 20 years ago. And the finishing job, running McDavid into the boards from behind, again, not a penalty when Darian Hatcher was playing for Dallas and you were coaching.
Yeah.
But a penalty all day today. So you could have called any one of those three. Then McDavid realized, well, he's not calling it. Screw him. And he two-handed him back, which is what you got to do, is protect yourself with the stick. I mean, that, and just think of the sequence there where there was no penalty called and the two calls against Darnay last night. Like, the second penalty in that game was as an abysmal of a call as I've seen all season.
Yeah, that was that should have been
he defended the play
worst, at the very worst, called Tkachuk on the dive. I mean, it was.
It was a joke.
And
all right, I got to ask.
Get back to the Oilers. They're 31st in the league in times on the power play, minutes spent on the power play. 31st in the league. And I think Minnesota's first. And they're 2 hours ahead of the Oilers. Like, it's two full games more on the power play than you
ever. I have friends that say to me, what good does it have having a respected general manager like Ken Holland if we can't get a goddamn power play? Like, that's what, like, I have friends that text, they're like, Bob, like, we never get a call. And I'm like, well, it's a loser's lament. They just had a weekend where they didn't play well enough to win in Toronto. They should have won in Ottawa. They didn't.
Yeah.
You know, it's a loser's lament, but it's, you know, can you be too respectful? Does the squeaky wheel get the proverbial oil? All right, switching focus. I got to ask you.
Yeah.
You recall when Dallas Eakins scratched Neil Yakupov in Toronto, and all I could think of is, don't do it in Toronto. Don't do it in Toronto. And it's just because everything gets enhanced there, doesn't it? It gets enhanced by Oilers fans going into Toronto, and it gets enhanced by the Toronto media. And that's the other part of it. Like, I'm sure the Toronto shows today are like, we're going to win the cup. I mean, they went to Carolina, and they lost to Carolina. They still got a super tough conference. And there's Oilers partisans, we're never going to win. Like, you know, and they had a bad weekend. It happens. They're still 13-7-3 since the 16-game winning streak. 13-7-3 since the All-Star break. So these things happen, Mac. I'm not making an excuse. Yeah. Poor performance, but does it get enhanced because it's Toronto?
You better learn from a game like that. And as I said over and over again, foot soldiers got to step up to a greater degree if we're going to have success. And I still believe they will, but they're going to have to. But Toronto, you're right. You know, I got beat up badly one time in my career, and unfortunately it was Toronto, so it went across the country pretty fast.
6 seconds of fury. Wendell Clark, it's the only he could do. He beat Matt, he beat Ben Wilson,
saw it, including my mother. it's a different
final topic. Evan Bouchard. Now we got a national play-by-play guy out of the States breaking his game down. I have to laugh because he's a real, let's just put it this way, as a play-by-play guy, he's a really good host. But, you know, and then do you buy what I'm selling here? That there's a nuance to puck-moving defensemen that lug huge minutes. They are going to make occasional, like, in back-to-back Saturday nights, he gets beaten in the corner by both MacKinnon and by Matthews, who, by the way, are two of the three best players in the world. Dreisaitl takes total accountability for the goal against Colorado in the play that MacKinnon beat Bouchard on. He said, there's no way I needed to be there on Lehkonen. That's on me. And then Matthews beats him, and he'd been out for close to a two-minute shift. I'm the first to say that Evan has to continue to grow as a defender. But can we not appreciate this guy for what he is? He's got 70 points this season, Craig.
Unfortunately, we're in another world where we focus mostly on shortcomings. And as I've said before, that's the issue in the game. Like, you take everything you do well, whether you're a coach, whether you're a manager, defenseman, forward, power forward, defensive specialist, you take everything that you do well for granted and focus in on the shortcomings, which is unfair. And Bouchard, in terms of being on the productive side of this team, is way, way on the productive side. I mean, he creates so much more than he gives up. And isn't that the measure of a player, is, you know,
everybody,
what you create minus what you give up. And he's so creative. But when you can be first to the puck, you got to be first to the puck. It's just as simple as that. And I don't know whether it's a tactic that that he's used before, where you let the opposition player get to the puck first, then try and contain him. But you get to the puck and then get the puck moving. And, I mean, it really was an embarrassing play. Matthews just grabbed it, threw it right out in front of the net, went right in the net. It was, I mean...
He's got to work on it.
It was a good lesson, but I really have seen improvement in his game defensively. He goes back much harder for pucks than he did before. And, you know, Evan Bouchard is a huge asset for the Edmonton Oilers. Let's all agree with that. Even his most ardent critic would have to agree that this guy is a hell of a talent.
Yeah, no question. Yeah. Craig, love having you on the show. 5:55. Yeah. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks. All right, bye-bye.
You bet. That is MACTIA Mondays with Craig McTavish, brought to you by Contract Equipment Limited, Canada's premium heavy equipment dealer with rental and sales. By the way, this show is called Oilers Now. The team is called the Edmonton Oilers. Never lose sight of the fact, okay? Never lose sight of the fact that some of us value the oil and gas community in our province. If you're one of those people, well, I don't like it. I don't like it that you like oil. So you know what I'd say? If you don't like it, I'm going to mention it once every couple of weeks. If you don't like it, too bad. Go listen to something else then. Maybe it's not for you. I don't know. I always laugh when I get those texts. You're invited to join New West Travel on an Avalon River cruise next March. Explore Southeast Asia as you discover Vietnam, Cambodia, and Thailand. Your 19-day tour includes a 7-night river cruise with gourmet meals, fine wines, and daily tours. You'll be immersed in culture and ancient traditions as you sightsee and spend time in some of the most fascinating places along the mighty Mekong River. You can book by the end of March to save up to $1,300 per person. For full details, contact New West Travel at newwesttravel.com. Oilers Now injury report for James H. Brown and your lawyers. When accidents happen, go to jameshbrown.com. It's this simple. James H. Brown has over 250 plus years. They get you the best results. That's all there is to it. I expect Evander Kane back in the lineup tomorrow for the Edmonton Oilers. That is my guess. Gabe Vilardi out, spleen injury. Real good player. Winnipeg has an excellent team. Winnipeg might have the deepest set of forwards in the National Hockey League. And their two goaltenders, Connor Hellebuck and Laurent Brossoit, have a combined 38.8 goals saved above expectation. James Dunn has a global news weather traffic update. Frank Cervelli coming up next for the horses and horse race in Alberta. You're listening to Oilers Now. It's 5:57 in Edmonton.
Canada may be known for its landscapes and friendly people, but beneath the surface lies a darker side of crime, history, and the paranormal. Since 2017, the award-winning Dark Poutine podcast has explored the shadowy corners of the Great White North and beyond, delivering chilling tales from a uniquely Canadian perspective. Hosted by Mike Brown and Matthew Stockton, with over 300 episodes and fresh releases every Monday, Dark Poutine is your weekly ticket to the creepier side of Canada. Listen to Dark Poutine on Apple, Spotify, Amazon Music, or wherever you get your podcasts.